against the quarterback and things like that. I think it's kind of a pick your poison thing, and that feels like what this defense has chose to do this year. So, but they're still good. I mean, I'm not going to discount that.
They are. You know, the Oren Burks, the former Packer, they've gotten a lot of mileage out of him at the strong side linebacker. But I will say this, that'd be a guy I would attack with tight ends.
Yes,
absolutely. I mean, I know he can run and all, but I think you go after him. And the corners, Charvarius Ward is good. There's no, you know, yes. He was all pro second team, yep. No doubt about that. Had his career year for him, building on last year when he's really good. But on the other side, they've had injuries, and Lenore at right corner is nothing special. With all due respect, he's in the NFL. I'm not, but and safeties, Jair Brown and Tayshawn Gibson. You remember him from the Bears.
Yep.
You know, they're just, again, they're somewhat fairly average on the back end. And I'm trying to think of, was it War? Who's the safety that they had that just would drive you nuts with the Niners? Ball Hawker. Anyway, they don't have that kind of caliber back there now.
Right.
And, I mean, so that way, if you can get time. See, the problem teams have against the Niners is not only do they put up points, but they grind out long drives doing it.
Yes.
No, they can do it both ways. I mean, they can thunderbolt you for 70 anytime, but they and so in the meantime, you know, their defense is sitting there resting, they're ready to go, and then when you get behind and you know they can control the clock, you're going to have to throw it more and pretty much game over. But I don't see that going that way for Green Bay. But
They have lost a few. When they've lost games this year, it's been in an ugly, ugly fashion. Brock Purdy just fumbling or throwing interceptions. And that's the one thing Max said. He's a very good – Max doesn't discredit how good Purdy has been. He's like, I'd like to see him play in another system, though, because he said Shanahan makes it really friendly for him. And he's like, if you watch Purdy – and I think this is a little bit about what Slayton, who got flack for talking about the quarterback, especially when he's been an MVP front runner, was talking about. He doesn't do well against the inside pressure. Purdy has struggled a little bit with that, if you can disrupt him on the inside. So that's something for the Green Bay defenders to kind of look at. But it's interesting because, like Max said, he's like, if Purdy can't go through his progressions and his checkdowns evaporate, he's like, that's when you're going to get him to turn things over. He's like, that's where he becomes a little bit less. He goes, I would trust Jordan Love more in those situations than I would Brock Purdy if his progressions are gone, his checkdowns are gone, and he's just got to start flinging the ball around. He's like, I would trust Jordan Love in that situation more than Brock Purdy, because he said, I think he's a Shanahan guy, which is good. He's like, Shanahan's made him amazing. And he's like, I don't discount his arm or the fact that he can move. But he's like, it just, once everything seems to evaporate, Purdy's going to make a mistake.
Well, I go to that Browns game, and at the time, leading into that, it was interesting. Shanahan just ran McCaffrey to death the first five or 6 weeks of the season. 150, 140, 109. I mean, he pretty much sold up MVP in the first third of the season.
Right.
But then they ran in a Browns game. And in addition to the Browns defense being fairly salty and the Niners having some problems and McCaffrey being worn down and beat up and injured at the time, that rain didn't hurt the Browns nearly as much as it did Brock Purdy.
No.
And I know they like to
get soggy. It's supposed to be soggy on Sunday when there's
70 Saturday night, 75% chance of rain. It is going to happen. And so I think that can be a mitigating factor. That can level the playing field a little bit in a game where two teams are somewhat close. And especially if the other, you know, if Purdy has problems with his grip and some of those things, he threw some bad balls at Cleveland. Now, Kyle Madsen, our Niners expert we had on, said that necessarily wasn't rain related, but he said you can't discount it. So
no, absolutely. You know, and the Bengals also had a big game against this 49ers team. They actually scored 31, and that was on a 49ers that was a fumble in the red zone, actually. But you look at what Joe Burrow did in that game, right, before he got hurt, had to miss the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
He was patient. He took a lot of the checkdowns. He made a handful of plays with his legs, some big plays too in that game. The team ran it well against the 49ers defense, just as we're talking about. Aaron Jones, hello. They use play action effectively, which we've seen. Jordan Love is most comfortable using play action. He's been really good with play action this year. And they got two huge interceptions, as we're talking about Purdy making mistakes too short in the field. Now, the last time these two teams played, the Packers were able to, I believe they got a fumble recovery, or did they get an interception? There's been so many games between these two where it's ended up with like one team ending up with the ball at the very end offhand, I can't remember. But I remember they were able to at least get one takeaway. And that, I mean, they weren't able to stay with it, but that did make a difference in at least slowing down the 49ers, because Shanahan gets a little bit more methodical then at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a turnover, if there's a fumble, then he kind of pushes back a little bit and gives Purdy time to settle back into the pocket. So you can always tell when there's been a mistake that's been made. But the point to that is there are opportunities for this team, even against the defense. And one of the things that I thought was interesting this week was Nick Bosa talking about Jordan Love as the quarterback. And I know you know what this quote is, but he said, quote, "A quarterback who does exactly what he's coached to do. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and unbelievable, but he kind of went outside of the realm of coaching, and sometimes it's good when you have a guy who does what he's coached to do." Kyle Shanahan said something very similar to that. And we know the 49ers are very much a trust the system kind of team, because they've proven the system works, right? Still interesting, though, because then Stenovich made similar comments this week about staying within the system and being able to move the ball better because it's on script and they can see what's actually working and what's not. So I found it interesting that people are starting to say it out loud now. Mm-hmm. Like, the words are coming out loud that Aaron Rodgers was unbelievable, but sometimes it was harder to coach because he wasn't on script. He was doing whatever he wanted out there. And within the Matt LaFleur system, they've been able to keep better track of things. The Niners are even noticing that Jordan Love is playing better because he's staying within the script kind of thing. So I think it's interesting that it's now being said out loud.
Well, Maddie, how frustrating would it be as a play caller? You're trying to get into a rhythm and you've got things that want to set up the next play and the next play looking down the road, and you got your quarterback changing out of it, out of it, and maybe to a slightly better play, possibly. But how do you, it's impossible to get any kind of a rhythm that way. And I'll go back to the thing, do you need better plays or better players? Right. And generally it's better players, but because everybody draws up plays to work on the board, they all look great, they're all going for a touchdown. The fact is that's dependent upon the defense being where you suspect they're going to be, playing it how you think, and your offensive, your receivers especially, running the clear outs, going full speed, you know, hauling tail to get open on every down. Not because these guys, they're not just happy to be in the league. They feel grateful when they're on the field playing. I mean, I believe Jaden Reed 1,000% when he said, if I block and we win, I don't care. And I think he is not, he's not exaggerating or fooling anyone.
They're not a selfish group. This is not a selfish group right now in any way, shape, or form.
That's what makes them scary.
They want to keep this thing going. And sometimes a team that has nothing to lose is way scarier and way more dangerous. And not saying they're going to win, but a team that has nothing to lose is way scarier and more dangerous than a team who has pressure on them, like the Cowboys did last week, like the 49ers will this week kind of thing. Let's flip over.
Well, I think I was just going to say real quick, it gives you the freedom, I think, to play to win.
Yes.
You know, that the goal is we're not here to just because we're happy to be here, any of that. And they talk about, you know, house money and all that. Again, I go back to, I do think it frees up their minds. These guys don't know what happened a couple of years ago, and they really, you know, a lot of these guys, most of them were in college. All seven, you know, targets were in college last time the Packers played the Niners, and Rodgers was a QB. So, but in terms of getting at the whole, the Rodgers and the quarterback doing what he's told, it seems so basic, but you know what? In the quarterbacks and receivers, what two positions are the biggest ego positions in the NFL? And what team has the least ego of any team in the league? I'd have to say Green Bay.
Well, you know, and it also, when you start hearing people make comments like that, it also makes it more understandable why the receivers could never get on the same page as Rodgers. If he's literally going off the script, and I'm not knocking him, but if he's always going off the script, as has been pointed out numerous times now this week, and he was playing within his own rule system, which it kind of feels like, in his own play system sometimes, not always, it feels like there was a reason why young receivers had a hard time gaining his trust or being on the same page, because they're being taught what's in the rule book. They're being, or in the playbook, they're being taught Matt LaFleur's playbook. And then if you have Rodgers going out there and changing the script on him every single time, or checking out of something and doing his own thing, well, no, they're not going to know where to be on the field. They're not going to have any idea where he wants them to be. And that's why I think Jordan Love has had a lot more success once everybody got on the same page and knew the book, because he's on the same exact play that they are on. They know exactly what that play is. He knows where it should go. They know where it should go. Everybody's doing the same thing, and you don't have somebody calling things and changing things at the last minute. So, I mean, it makes sense. Now, before we move on to defense, I will say this. Turnovers are going to be huge on Saturday, as they always are in any game, right? You know, the 49ers, though, they're 8-0 when they don't turn over the ball. They're 4-5 when they do. They're 9-1 when they get 2+ takeaways, and they're 3-4 when they don't. So, as LaFleur likes to say, the Packers have to win the ball on Saturday. It's just all there is to it, right? I mean, that's going to be huge, I think, in a game where it could come down to a final score. It could come down to a final touch. I think turnovers are going to be a huge key for the team. And Green Bay, on offense, they've been taking care of the ball very, very well the last few weeks. Jordan Love's been very good with the ball. He's only had the couple of turnovers and definitely no picks. So, that's, I mean, he's been right on target. Nothing weird and wacky has happened that way.
And I think LaFleur has to coach that way. You can't just tell your players now, okay, you know, we're going to let it snap and this and that. And then you get in the game and you're looking at the play calls as the game's going. What are you doing, coach? This is conservative as can be. I think if you win the toss, you take the football. Now, with the rain, might be a mitigating factor that way. Sure. If it's coming down pretty good, maybe I do kick it off. You know, and then we'll see, because it might let up by second half and we get the ball first and you're pretty happy. So that would be a mitigating factor. Otherwise, though, with your play calling, with your shots deep when they're warranted, I think that whatever LaFleur dials up, he can trust Love's going to try to execute it to his best. And like I said earlier, to the receivers, they don't ever look surprised that the ball came to him.
No. I mean
in past, you'd be like, geez, you know, like, I didn't expect Rodgers to come to me. And then Rodgers would bitch him out and you'd go, what the heck, you know? Yeah. And it's like, ay, ay, ay.
So I think there's just a lot more communication. I mean, I really think it comes down to the whole communication. LaFleur and Jordan Love are on the same page. Love and LaFleur know exactly what's happening. LaFleur knows what Love is doing on the field. Unless he really goes outside of the box, which he has, and, you know, LaFleur talks about those moments, and he's proud of him in those moments because he kept the play alive. It wasn't because he didn't trust the process. He didn't think that what was called was good enough, for whatever the reason may be. He was literally just trying to move the ball and keep the play alive and keep him on the field. So there's that aspect of it too. When we look at the defensive side of the ball, right? We've seen this time and again this season. Max and I were talking about it the other night. He goes, this is a weird game to me. And I said, why is that? He goes, because you have Kyle Shanahan coaching an offense that is very scripted. It's within its realm. You know exactly what they're going to do. And he's like, then on the other side, you have Joe Barry, who feels like he's making it up every play as he goes. And he goes, honestly, I think that's harder to like actually plan for than Shanahan's side. But he's like, it just, that's what it feels like right now. Throughout the season, this has been one of the worst middle of the field passing defenses in the league. They're 27th. And they got a pick last week in the middle of the field. Devondre Campbell nearly had himself, should have, in the end zone, had a pick versus Dak in the end zone. When you want yardage and big yardage on this Green Bay Packers team, we saw Tommy DeVito do it. We saw Bryce Young do it. We saw Baker Mayfield do it. When you want big yardage against this team, you throw to the middle of the field. Devondre Campbell has not been a good defender in the middle of the field. In fact, in the 2021 playoffs, remembering all the way back, Garoppolo hit Kittle versus Campbell in the slot on the game-winning drive. So that kind of scares me because, you know, we talk about the Packers' weapons, but they have McCaffrey over at the 49ers. They have Debo Samuel, but they have Kittle, and they have some other young, good receivers. So it kind of scares me what they might dial up in the middle of the field against this linebacker crew right now for the Green Bay Packers. So what do you think? I mean, in 2019, you had Blake Martinez and B.J. Goodson out there. So they've definitely, like, at least upgraded that position, but it's still a scary spot, right? Like, for
well, you look at their five preferred weapons. McCaffrey's as good a receiver as any receiver. He just happens to play running back. Debo Samuel and Ayuk, we've talked about. Samuel strong, 8+ yards after the catch. If you don't bring him down, they're going to get him the ball. You're going to have some problems. Ayuk is really slippery, kind of a Jaden Reed type a little bit. I'd take Reed over Ayuk, but Ayuk was a all-pro, so we'll see. What do I know? And then Juwan Jennings, he's a speed guy. Yeah. You can't nap on him because Purdy, we'll take a shot with him, and then George Kittle. So all those weapons, and doesn't even begin to mention Kyle Juszczyk, who the time you forget about the fullback, they decide to use him. Right. The Niners' weakness on offense, though, is everyone from Trent Williams right on the offensive line. Yeah. The right, you know, the left guard, the center, the right guard, the right tackle are all mediocre at best, better run blockers than pass blockers. Yes. And, you know, with that in mind, what do you think the Niners will do, especially if it's a little rainy? They're going to try to run the football. And they're going to do it with misdirection, end-arounds, tosses, wide sweeps. I mean, you name it, they're going to come at you in a run game every which way possible. And that's what scares me, because I think in a situation where the Niners have to pass or are likely to, I'll take Carl Brooks and the company against them. I'll take a shot.
Sure. You know, and
but
you know,
I just don't want to see him run all over the joint like they did that first half of the last time they were out there.
And I just picture Joe Barry in the booth with his eyes like rolling right along with them. You know, I mean, that's what I picture in my head when I think about what this 49ers offense is capable of doing. You mentioned the O-line, and the Packers pass rush has been dominant lately. And the 49ers are actually 18th in sack rate, and that's outside of Trent Williams, obviously. So they're, as you mentioned, just an okay kind of group. Green Bay is going to have opportunities to make negative plays. They're just going to have to – I just hope Joe Barry's got something ready because, I mean, they're going to stress guys like Devondre Campbell and they're going to stress guys like Quay Walker because they're going to want to see what they're capable of doing. And if you get into those situations against this offense, it's going to be a really long night. It's going to be a really, really long night for Packers fans. And that's unfortunate because they played really well. Now, we've mentioned that Purdy, you know, he can turn the ball over. I mean, he will definitely turn the ball over.
Yeah, he's not immune to it, that's for sure.
No, I mean, against the Ravens, he had 4 interceptions. The Bengals had 2 interceptions and 1 fumble recovery. In the Vikings game where the Vikings won, he had 2 interceptions. And in the Browns game, he had 1 interception and also a fumble that didn't end in a turnover versus Cleveland. So he's not immune to turning the ball over, and I think that's what you might have to create. The Packers have not been great at getting turnovers or creating turnovers, or last week was one of really the first times in a few weeks when I can remember them getting picks even. So, I mean, this has not been an opportunistic group over the last few weeks under Joe Barry. So.
It isn't. But you know what? Turnovers, they say, Maddie, come in bunches.
Yes.
Just like bananas. Let's hope. Got a few more.
And hopefully they're not the like brown, rotten ones.
No.
They're like the good ones. They're like the good bananas. This is an interesting matchup to me for so many different reasons. And I think, too, it's also interesting because if you remember the games where the Packers have won in close fashion or were completely blown out by the team. By the way, if you haven't noticed, all of the teams still remaining in the NFC playoff cycle here, they're all teams that have ended the Packer season. So you got the Lions, who ended it last year. They didn't make the playoffs. You got the Bucks. Well, we all know what happened there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you've got the 49ers. And John Runyon, he was one of the first this week to point that out. He was one of the first. He definitely sees the irony in all of it. That's for sure. But, I mean, this team can score. They can play football. Whether or not they can hang with the 49ers, I guess we're going to find out on Saturday night, aren't we?
We will. But, you know, the Cowboys have got talent, too. So, I know that game went the way it did, and everything in the Green Bay's favor couldn't have gone much better. But they did go out there and toe-to-toe. I mean, because sometimes the announcers in the national media, they almost dismissive, like, well, if had the Cowboys not played such an awful game, have you heard of cause and effect? You know, but it's okay.
The Packers played well, and I'll give Joe Barry credit for that game. He had a great game plan against Dak Prescott. I mean, he was able to limit the run. He was able to make Dak Prescott a little shaky. To me, their O-line is a lot better than the 49ers all the way around, too, because they can block for the pass and the run, at least in Dallas. So they were able to be very disruptive.
Well, you got two rookie kickers here, too, going into with the rain, and Moody and Anders Carlson have not been all that great, but at least we'll match your rookie with another one. I can ask you a question. I'm just curious about this. Okay. 2 minutes to go. You need a touchdown to win. Do you want the Packers on defense from the Niners 20? Do you want the Packers with the ball from their, let's say, 25?
I want the Packers with the ball. I want it in Jordan Love's hand with Aaron Jones out there and that young wide receiver core.
Well, you didn't even hesitate.
I don't trust Joe Barry. And this week there were some interesting comments where Matt LaFleur said if anybody was going to turn this around, it had to be a guy like Joe Barry. Couldn't have been anybody else. A lot of people took that as, oh God, Joe Barry's staying. I don't take it like that at all. You're not going to throw your coach under the bus right now, especially. You need him at his best going against the 49ers because this is the team Matt LaFleur has not been able to beat, right? He has not been able to beat his buddy, Kyle Shanahan, and that relationship is not as amicable as it once was, and you can tell by the reactions to each other on the field. So I think this is like the one game that he would love to have. I mean, he wants them all, but to me, there's got to be like a little spot in him that's like, you know what? I want to get this win, right? He's been trying to do this one for a long time.
Joe Barry has better players on defense than he did a couple of years ago when he held them 13-10. That was the reason Joe Barry, I think, kind of got brought back in a way.
Right?
And I don't know. I think that train has, you know, left the station now with Joe. But he has shown an ability to scheme up what he needs to do against this Niners offense. And some of it, I think, could be from watching the Packers offense day to day to day. Nick Bosa pointed out, and my partner Marcus mentioned, well, who has the advantage then if the Niners and Packers offenses are so similar? Shouldn't that be a wash? Well, not necessarily.
No, it's players. I mean, it's not always plays. There's a term, players, not plays. And I think that fits in this particular case. And Shanahan, he's been running his system for a long time, right? Matt LaFleur is just getting to the stage where he can run the system he wants to run. You know, it's like he's still got the training wheels on and it just happens to be going really, really well right now and good things are coming from it. In this conversation that people were having this week, Matt LaFleur isn't going to throw Joe Barry under the bus right now. He's not going to do that. He needs him coaching at his best at this moment in time, especially if they want to go in and they want to pull an upset and they continue to play with house money, blah, blah, blah. It's also not Matt LaFleur's way to throw his coaching staff under the bus. He's just not going to do it. It's how he's been throughout his entire tenure in Green Bay, and he's not going to continue to do it. I also think that people who say he's going to stay need to settle down for just a minute, and let's see what happens tomorrow night. I mean, if you absolutely have no answers for Christian McCaffrey, and he's running wild back there, and all of a sudden there's misdirection, the middle of the field is wide open again, Devondre Campbell looks like he's standing still, you spoke too soon, because Matt LaFleur is watching the same thing we are.
Correct.
You know? So then you can make decisions, and if your season ends, then that's when you can be like, this isn't working, we need to move on, right? But you're not going to do that to the guy until you get to the end, the bitter end, no matter when that is.
And if you're LaFleur, why not maximize the fact that they have played really well recently? So you can sell that to your defense, to your team, that, you know, we stuck with Joe. He's the guy that I believe could turn things around if anybody could, because he knows you so well, and he has. And whether there's a whole lot of truth to that and that they are doing things drastically different, I don't know. But I know players buy into that kind of thing because they see the success in the games, and they don't really care. Bears, Vikings, Cowboys, bring one, bring all. Let's play them because we're on a roll right now. And that's the other thing with the turnovers in bunches. That confidence is a crazy thing. Darnell Savage, maybe have an eye on a football this tomorrow night. Some of these guys, there may be some chances taken, and I do really hope and pray that Jair Alexander is healthy and goes.
Yes. No, me too, because Jair is a difference maker. And, whether he's 100% healthy or not, he's still out there and he's still a leader on that team. And seeing him gut it out, I think, is important for the young guys as well. Now, here's something interesting before we give our final predictions. The NFC's final four teams in their last 10 games, 49ers, Lions, Bucks, Packers, all 7-3. Isn't that interesting?
That is.
I found
similar.
It really fascinating. Yeah, they're all, it feels like they're all pretty... I mean, 49ers obviously maybe an echelon just a little bit above everybody else because they've been so dominant. But I feel like these are all pretty evenly matched teams all in all when it comes down to it. You watch Baker Mayfield even play last week. I mean, say what you want about the Eagles, but that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, I hate to admit it because Baker Mayfield, but they're actually playing really pretty decent football right now. So there's that as well. But it's going to be a fun end to the year, no matter how it plays out here.
Hey, which team in the NFC has the best quarterback left in the playoffs?
Oh, man.
Green Bay Packers. Love's better than Purdy. You'd take Love over Purdy, wouldn't you? You'd take him over Goff.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely take him over
Goff. You'd take him over Mayfield.
Oh, for sure. And, that's all that's left, isn't it?
You know, and all the injuries they had on the AFC, Stroud, Jackson, Allen, and Mahomes, the four best quarterbacks, still rose to the top.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. That's why I give the Packers another chance, because
yeah.
I don't think we know how good Jordan Love can be.
No.
And this game, things might slow down really, really good for him. And it could go the other way. I don't think so, though. I see him having a really good game.
I see him excelling. I see, like, there is foot on the gas pedal right now. And I think he has hit that he's gone over that bump, right? Like, that's what I feel like with him.
Yep.
You don't make the off-script plays that he's made. You don't have the darts that he's had. You don't make the decisions that he has made without having gotten over that bump. That is coaching. That is game planning. That is all of it. But there is something that has clicked inside of his mind as well, as far as how he's seeing the field and what he's capable of doing. And those are things that come from within your quarterback. And all the other elements help, but those come from within the guy. And he has proven that those things have clicked and that he has gotten over that hump. And we saw it during the Steelers. He was starting to climb over it, and then it's been like a downhill skiing, use the snow analogy. It's been like an avalanche ever since, which is not a bad thing. So to wrap up, let's give our final score predictions here this morning. I got Max's. He sent it to me early this morning after he did a little thinking about it. And I have mine. So we'll start with yours, though. What do you think?
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Hard.
Rain could be. It is tough. I'm gonna go Packers 31-30.
Okay. All right.
I've been riding them this far for the last 4 weeks or so, and I think they'll get it done again. I really do. They get a chance now. They don't have to play perfect. You know, nobody does. But I wouldn't take Mark Chmura's advice and just hitting Purdy with impunity late. I mean, I don't know what the heck he was thinking, but but you do want to get to him and make it tough for him. But yes. I do think the Packers have a chance, 31-30, and I'll go down swinging with them.
All right. Max is completely in a different boat. He doesn't even think they cover. It's 9.5 points point difference in this particular game. He thinks it's 33-17. He's like, basically what you have right here is a movable force, meaning an immovable object. And he's like, not saying that they're not good. He's like, I am more than excited about how this team has come around. Way, like he said to me last night, he's like, they have way exceeded my expectations. He's like, they're not there yet. And he's like, I think they're not there yet. He goes, I defended Joe Barry for a long time. He's like, they're not there yet because they need a defensive coordinator who sees the field differently than what he is seeing it right now. And he's like, you're dealing with a whole different breed of cat when you're dealing with the 49ers and all of their weapons. So he says, the 49ers take this one and move on. But he's like, at the end of it, he's like, nobody can be disappointed in this season. He's like, you want him to win, obviously, and that sucks. But he's like, at the same time, if you haven't been watching what's been going on, you've missed a whole lot of cool development and should be super excited for next year.
He's right. The experts, a lot of them are saying, I mean, the Niners have double-digit wins in their playoff history at home especially. I mean, that's just kind of the way it has been for them, so I won't be surprised. 33-17, 34-17, I could see that going down that way. Absolutely. The rain, I think, still is a mitigating factor. One guy slips on a route and the DB catches it for a pick six. You know, just crazy things can happen. We'll see.
The Packers have advantage with the weather. I mean, it's usually beautiful in San Francisco. They don't get usually torrential downpours. They don't have to worry so much about the slippery fields where the Packers play at Lambeau. So those things are actually an asset to them in a game like this.
Definitely.
I think they go down. I don't think they make it or on, but I think they at least cover. I think it's 30-21 at the end of it. And I think that they play a really great game. I think that I kind of agree with Max. I think that this offense is too much for Joe Barry, and we see him really fall. I feel like we're going to see him fall into some of his old ways. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm going to be super excited.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. There's a trust issue that I have right now with Joe Barry. I'm not there yet saying that he knows what he's doing. And I think Max is right. You know, like, I feel like he is just making it up as he goes along. I know that's not true, but sometimes I'm like, oh, look, he pulled something out. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Good for him today. So I feel like they do cover, but I think they're going to end up ending the season in San Francisco. But I'm kind of with my axe on that one. I'm more than excited for what's happened with this team. Win, lose, whatever. This has been an incredible season, and I think if you're a Packers fan, it's going to be one that you don't forget for a really long time, right? Because it's been special. It's been super special watching these guys, whether it ends tomorrow night or not. It's been really special this season watching.
It has. It's been a lot of fun discussing it with you as we go, because we've been on it. I mean, really.
We
know.
I know.
We stuck with Jordan Love when there were those talking craziness. Sean Clifford goofiness, oh, you know, the whole fire LaFleur if he doesn't fire Joe Barry and on and on.
That
and
was just silly. I just needed Matt LaFleur to coach like I knew Matt LaFleur could. You know, it was there. We needed to see it. It didn't look anything like what we knew Matt LaFleur was capable of, and that was getting to be the frustrating
part. Wow, some ways I feel like this was the longest preseason in NFL history because it went about 12 games before things got serious and they got it together, but have they just ascended ever since?
And again, if they win, it is going to be, oh gosh, like jubilation, right? Because they exorcise a demon, they move on to the championship round. But boy, you can't say that if they lose, it's been a bad year either.
Real quick, Bucks, Lions.
Lions. I think the Lions at home are going to be, I've used the word a lot, juggernaut. I think they're going to be a juggernaut at home. Those fans are rabid, they're excited, and the Bucks are playing really well, but I think that's going to be another close one. I think it could be a really close one. Baker Mayfield's playing some of the best football I think I've ever seen him play, honestly.
He's getting healthier, too, and that defense is starting to find its groove for the Bucks, too. I think the Bucks fully upset there. I really do.
All right.
We'll see. Right. I mean, that deserving NFC championship team, I don't know.
Right?
But, you know, if they got there and they don't have Tom Brady and the Packers get there and they don't have Aaron Rodgers, oh, how much fun would that be?
That would be fun storylines forever. That's what that would be.
Oh, man.
All right, Chris, you enjoy the game tomorrow night. And we
sure
will talk no matter win or lose on Monday morning at 8:30. Thank you
Outstanding.
So much.
You bet.
You have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, hanging with Hovel, brought to you by Tricor Insurance here on Max FM.
Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights, his leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more. He led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
Reedsburg Area Medical Center has again been selected as one of the best places to work by Modern Healthcare. This is Bob Van Matren, President and CEO of Reedsburg Area Medical Center. I'm proud to announce that RAMC has received this prestigious honor for the third time. We've also earned the impressive ranking of 38th in the nation. That's a testament to the remarkable individuals who make up our team and their dedication to going beyond the expected. You can be a part of our winning organization. Visit ramchealth.com to explore career opportunities.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
99.7 Max FM with Wham.
And more.
Come on to that feeling. 99.7 Max FM.
for someone who needs me. Hormones racing at the speed of light, but that don't mean it's gotta be tonight. Baby, 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 baby. Oh, my body's saying let's go. Oh, but my heart's saying let's go.
If you wanna be with me, baby, there's a price to pay. I'm a genie, I'm a nobody. You gotta let me know right way. If you wanna be with me, I can make a wish come true. Just come and set me free, baby, and I'll be with you.
I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. You gotta rub me the right way, honey. I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. Come. Come on in.
Come on and let me out.
Christina Aguilera, there is Genie in a Bottle. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. Hopefully you're having a great Friday. Now, if you're a fan of football, you know that watching some of those NFL games last weekend, what was just downright painful. We're not talking about just for Cowboy fans. Thank you very much, Green Bay Packers, Eagles fans, and very delusional Browns fans. Every year they get their hopes up. Anyway, several of the games were played in freezing temperatures, particularly in Kansas City and Buffalo. And some of the fans, if you saw the crowd shots, they looked miserably cold. Well, a new poll asked people what's the coldest temperature they'd be willing to attend an outdoor pro sports event. And 38% of men say they'd be fine with freezing temperatures, including 3% who say they'd be totally okay if it was below zero. 22% of women, surprisingly, would also be fine in freezing temperatures, only if I have 92 layers on, including 2% who claim they'd be okay with below zero temperatures. Now, if you break that down by age, young adults are far more likely to do it than people 45 and older. Well, that's because we're getting old and our bones are getting a little bit more brittle. We don't need them to snap in the cold, right? On the flip side, 13% of men and 20% of women say they wouldn't watch a sporting event outside unless it was at least 50 degrees out. Now, here's what I'm going to say. As a fan of the Green Bay Packers, I meticulously plan when we're going to go to games based on how I know the weather changes in this state. Those bleachers at Lambeau, they are not fun to sit on, and that is why at certain parts of the year, the Green Bay Packers are green, gold, camo, and bright orange, because we know here in Wisconsin how to attend an outdoor event, right? They had no clue there in Kansas City last weekend. Not even a little bit of a clue. It was actually kind of fun to watch people try to figure it out. Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. It's going to be cold today. Wind chill single digits to teens below zero. Warming things up next week, though. We'll tell you more about your forecast in just a moment. Right now, it's your community calendar brought to you by Pizza Ranch of Baraboo.
Hi, this is Mary at the Baraboo Pizza Ranch. We have a new sweet almond cactus spread ready for you. It's made with our skillet crust, brushed with butter, sprinkled with cinnamon sugar, topped with an almond-flavored streusel and a white sugar topping. And when it comes out of the oven, we top it with our icing and some slivered almonds, and it is yummy. Here at the Baraboo Pizza Ranch, you can dine in or order it for delivery or carry out. 448-2215.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Pizza Ranch. On Friday, January 19th, from 6:30 until 8:30, Merrimack Community School will be hosting their Celebrate Winter event. Great chance to eat some food and have some fun with family and friends. Bring a dish to pass and your favorite board game. No alcohol is allowed at this event. It's sponsored by the Merrimack Snowbusters. And they also have a 50-50 cash raffle with the proceeds going to Merrimack Home and School Association. Again, this is Friday, January 19th, from 6:30 until 8:30 at Merrimack Community School. And you still have time to get signed up for the 5th annual Baraboo FFA Alumni and Supporters Raffle. This year, the prizes will be 10 different meat bundles, ranging in values from $50 to $275. And the grand prize is a Blackstone Grill package, valued at $375. It's $5 per ticket or $20 for 5 tickets. You can reach out to Baraboo FFA Alumni and Supporters on Facebook or contact any executive board members to purchase tickets. Again, this is the 5th annual Baraboo FFA Alumni and Supporters Raffle. Selling will end on February 17th, and the drawing will be held at the Baraboo FFA Flapjacks for Farmers Breakfast, held at Baraboo High School.
U.S. Cellular now has unlimited home internet for only $30 a month when you add a mobile line, and it's easy to set up, too, which means you can keep working remotely. Dad, who loves working from home?
Did I mention my fuzzy slippers are very professional looking?
U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Wow. High-speed, reliable, unlimited internet for your home or business for as low as $30 per month. Plus, get a free router valued up to $500. Hurry to your local U.S. Cellular in Baraboo, the Dells, and Reedsburg to start saving today.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A beautiful, bright start to the day turns cloudy, with chances of flurries and scattered snow showers this afternoon and into the evening hours, putting down just a trace. High temperatures hit the single digits, but feel more like zero, with another wind chill advisory going into effect tonight through tomorrow morning. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 2 degrees above. 99.7
Cool. When it hits the bottom roof, the horses.
maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you are having a great Friday. We're just a few short hours away from another weekend, which is perfect because that means it's time for a little dance party at the desk. Yeah, that's right. We're getting ready for another 50-minute music hour. Actually, I should say we're in it. Coming up next hour, John Mellencamp, Cutting Crew on the way, also CNC Music Factory. Right now, Animotion keeps things going. Finn also in to take you through your midday right here on 99.7 Max FM. Have a great rest of your Friday, a fantastic weekend. Go Pack Go, and I will talk to you on Monday.
And more.
Right on!
I get to hear what I want when I want.
99.7 Max FM.
It's all the same.
but a nice girl.